Well, good morning again. So in the spring, the spring sports season for our daughter is track. And so at one of the track meets this past spring, after one of the races, she and one of her teammates, a girl that I banter back and forth with quite a bit, came over to the stands to chat with us. And so I looked at the girl with Danielle, and I said, "Hey, you finished in third place, so top three, good job." She looked back at me and goes, "Yeah, but there are only four people in the race." And I said, "So," I said, "your choice, you can look at it as top three or second to last. It was the same place. It all depends on how you look at it." How many of you would agree that one way to look at how she finished would be encouraging, and the other would be discouraging? Now, how many of you would agree that sometimes the things we tell ourselves matter? Now, for some of us, the things we tell ourselves and the things we experience get easy for us to fall into a cycle of discouragement. There's circumstantial discouragement, and there's internal discouragement. There's discouragement that others put on us, and there's discouragement that we put on ourselves. But it is easy to fall into a cycle of being discouraged to the point that we wonder whether being encouraged is even possible. Of all the factors that influence the level of encouragement and discouragement in our lives, there are some studies about an area that is, I'll say, relatively new in the grand scheme of the world, that study after study shows has a dramatic impact on the level of encouragement and discouragement, specifically in teenagers. So, a few studies show that, and I think some of these are on the screen, right? Yeah. So, this will tell you how kind of dated this particular study is, because it focuses on Facebook and teen uses of Facebook. And if you know anything about Facebook, all of the young people abandoned Facebook years ago because mom and dad got on Facebook. And mom and dad got on Facebook to see what their kids were doing on Facebook. So their kids left Facebook and went to Instagram. And now parents went to Instagram. And so now kids are leaving Instagram and are going to Snapchat and all of that. And so I'm sure there's, is there a newest one? What's the newest one? Oh, Be Real. Seriously. You're gonna pretend that social media is Be Real. So anyway, this study shows that for undergrad college students, the more time they spent on Facebook, the more they had the belief that others were happier than they were. However, the less time they spent on Facebook and the more time they actually spent in person interacting with friends, the less likely they were to feel this way. So, the next study shows a 2013 that older adolescents who had a passive use of social media, and what they mean by passive use is there's someone who just kind of scrolls through and looks at other people's posts and other people's comments but isn't really interacting much, that they showed a decline in life satisfaction. Whereas people who engaged, the adolescents who engaged in social media interactively to make relational connections with friends and stuff, it actually didn't experience as great a decline. So the next one's 2016. They studied 450 teenagers and showed that the more use they had and the more late night use they had and the more more emotionally invested in what took place on social media they got, the lower sleep quality, and the higher levels of depression and anxiety in the students. So, 2019, 6,500 adolescents aged 12 to 15 that spent more than 3 hours a day on social media showed a heightened risk for emotional and mental health challenges. Now, please understand, I'm not anti-social media. But study after study shows that social media has a direct connection to the level of encouragement and discouragement in the lives of our teenagers. There are a lot of factors that contribute to it beyond social media. But study after study shows that this is the case. So our world, the world around us, tends to be full of the cycle of discouragement. And so is it possible in a world full of discouragement to be encouraged? Is it possible in a world full of discouragement to be an encourager to those who are discouraged? Well, if we were able to have the early church leader Paul here with us today, we would seem to think that his conclusion would be, yes, it's possible. If you look at what he wrote to the first century church in Corinth, and here's what he wrote. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the inside and fear on the outside. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound real encouraging and real hopeful. This letter is what we know in the biblical narrative as the second letter to Corinthians. This is actually Paul's fourth letter to the Corinthians. The first three letters were all written when he was in a town called Ephesus, and he was in prison, and he was writing to the church to kind of get them on the right track. And this was a time of discouragement for Paul because he had worked so diligently with the Corinthian church to keep them on track and to keep them headed in the right direction, and it just wasn't happening. And so if I were in Paul's shoes, I would feel like maybe my work had been a little futile, a little bit fruitless. Was it ever going to change? Was it ever going to be any different? Were they just going to continue to do the same things over and over and all of that? And so that's where Paul finds himself as he writes the first three letters to the church in Corinth. This is the fourth letter that he writes. Around 50 AD, Paul left Ephesus and went to Macedonia. When he arrives in Macedonia, this is what he finds. When we arrived, there was no rest for us. Some of you may feel like you're in a season where there's no rest. Actually, this morning in the hospitality room, we were kind of joking around and made the comment, it's always something, isn't it? To which I said, well, if it isn't always something, it's always someone. No rest. Sometimes you feel like this cycle of it's always something just continues to go. We face conflict from every direction. I don't know, maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there now. With battles on the outside and fear on the inside. That's the reality, excuse me, of Paul's situation when he left Ephesus and went to Macedonia, and he, for whatever reason, sends a fourth letter to the church that was struggling in Corinth that he had so diligently worked to try. How about it? You think maybe Paul would understand a little bit about discouragement? Think that maybe Paul would have a little bit of a grasp of the sense of needing or desiring or hoping for some level of encouragement to come into his life? Maybe you've been there. So here's what he goes on and writes. He says, "But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus." The first two words of this sentence, "but God," have become some of my favorite words in the entire biblical narrative. They happen fairly frequently. And they almost always happen after something negative. There's this negative situation, but God. There's something that happened, but God. There's something on the horizon, but God. And these to me have become some of the most encouraging words in all of the Bible, because the world we live in is a but God world. This happened, but God. My daughter got taken out by an opposing goalie, and it was the first game in either of their sports careers that one of the two of us wasn't at. But God provided a group of people who cared for her, who took care of her, who brought her to us. It was senior night for David at his soccer game, so Denise and I were both there. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, Denise looks down at her phone and goes, Danielle's coach is calling me. their game started at the same time. So if David's game's not over, Danielle's game's not over. Well, Danielle's game was over. Her team's game wasn't over, but her game was over. And so this happened, but God provided people who would care and make sure. And then look at what he says. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged. God encourages those who are discouraged. In other words, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, whatever the discouragement is, God is for you. And God wants you to be encouraged. There is never a time God doesn't want you to be encouraged. And then look at how God provides encouragement to Paul. It says encouraged us, not just Paul, but those that Paul was with. Encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Well, Titus was a young man who had traveled with Paul and had served in church leadership in one of the churches. Likely, they think that Titus spent some time in the church at Corinth and maybe even in Ephesus a little bit. But he had been with Paul. And so all of a sudden, in this season of discouragement for Paul, Titus shows up. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, God sends somebody to serve as an encouragement when I'm discouraged. A while back, just again, continuing to battle some level of discouragement. And you know, I asked the question early on, is it possible to be encouraged? Well, all of those of you that are wired to be naturally optimistic, positive, and encouraged go, yeah, it's possible. It's actually pretty darn easy if you think about it. Well, for the rest of us, we go, to you. And so when you battle this cycle of discouragement, I had a friend who texted me one day and asked if I wanted to go play golf. And I really didn't. I had 150 things going on at home, a list of stuff I needed to get done, stuff I'd been doing. And to be honest, I really just didn't want to go. Now, before I had kids, I played a lot of golf. After I had kids, I didn't have any money or time to play golf anymore. And so I just reordered some priorities and kind of let golf shift by the wayside. But because the guy had asked a couple of times and I hadn't been able to go, I decided I'm going to go ahead and go. You know, I don't want him to stop asking and all of that. So I'm going to go ahead and go. Well, by the end of the round, we had not solved all the world's problems. We hadn't really even talked much about issue-related stuff. We just went out and played golf. And even though none of the discouragement I carried had really changed, I was more encouraged just by the presence of someone else who could serve as an encouragement. And so there are times where God sends someone, someone like a Titus, who serves as an encouragement when we need. And again, I love that phrase, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged. And so if you're in a season of discouragement, a season of wondering, know that God is for you and God wants you to be encouraged. And then look at what Paul writes next after saying that Titus had shown up. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. Now, all of us like good news, right? So it's kind of a no-brainer that when someone brings us good news, it serves as an encouragement. But again, it was Titus's presence. And his presence there was an encouragement because of the news that he brought, which was an encouragement that they received from them. So you see what's happening here? Paul's discouraged. Titus receives encouragement from other people and then comes and visits Paul and brings encouragement from other people to Paul. So it's almost like encouragement can travel. It's almost like if I encourage you, and then you go see someone else and you encourage them, and they go see someone else and they encourage them. It's almost like encouragement can have a ripple effect on those in our sphere of influence. And we don't have, sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes it's just like the golf experience. You just go and you be and you are, and it's all good, and it's better just because you were there, and better because you were together. His presence was a joy. And I wonder how many times we interact with people and we leave that interaction and they go, wow, their presence was a joy. I'm so glad I got to be with them. I'm so glad I got to see them. I'm so glad we got to spend time together. I'm better for having been with them. In a season of discouragement, there isn't anyone who doesn't need some level of encouragement, which is actually an encouragement that the writer of Hebrews gave to us. All of us can use what the writer of Hebrews says. The writer of Hebrews says, but, oh, you know what? I skipped one. Go ahead and go to the next one. Let's see what that one has to say. There might be good stuff in there like there was a couple weeks ago. When he told us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. The news that he brought filled him with joy. Go ahead and go to the next slide. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. What is today? It's not a trick question. Today is today. If today is today, today is a day that someone can use encouragement. And the writer of Hebrews tells us to encourage one another daily. It's not something that you do once a week. It's not something that you do once a month. It's not something that you do sporadically. But encourage one another daily. Well, how often do I have to do this daily? Well, as long as it's called today. So today, encourage someone. If you think of something encouraging to communicate to someone, do it. Pick up your phone right now. I'm not going to be offended. Pick up your phone right now and text someone an encouraging note. Open your email app. Send them an email. I don't care if you call them. Let's all pick up our phones right now and call someone and encourage them. And let's just have a big conversation together. Why not? Why not? If you have something encouraging to say, don't let encouragement go undone. Oh, open your social media. Hear this. Open your social media app. After what I just said about social media, open your social media app. Send them a Facebook message. And Instagram, it's called Grams on Instagram, right? Isn't that right? Okay, both of my kids are going, oh, you're stupid. So, how many of you remember a few months ago the face-smashing bread lady? Remember her that we had up on the screen, the face-smashing bread lady? They called it all of her Grams. That's what they said. So, to the two of you. So get out to Instagram and send them a message. Put it on your Instagram story. Snap them. If you don't know what Snap them is, that's all about Snapchat. Or just simply open it up and be real on social media. Here's the thing. Don't let encouragement go undone, because you never know. You never know how much weight your words are going to carry. You never know how much the person that you encounter may need your encouragement. About a year ago, I was in a big season of discouragement about a lot of stuff, and I was carrying discouragement around with me like a 50-pound ton of bricks. And Denise and I entered into a season of, that's like 700 motorcycles going by right now. So Denise and I entered into an intentional season of asking God, okay, what's next here? What's this season of discouragement telling us? What are you telling us in the midst of the discouragement? And as we entered into that season, over the next 10 days, three people approached me, unsolicited, approached me and said, hey, I just wanted to tell you. And whatever they told me spoke right into the discouragement that I was experiencing. And each and every one of those conversations encouraged me, but also sent a clear message about what God was saying about what was next. Around that same time, I had three emails come into my inbox that specifically addressed the discouragement I was carrying and what God was communicating was next. In a season of discouragement, we never know how the words that we speak into someone else's life will encourage them. We never know what they may need from us. And so sometimes when we think something encouraging and we think we should tell someone and then we don't, maybe that's just what they need to hear. And so don't let encouragement go undone, because discouragement has a tremendous impact on our lives. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. After he says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Well, why? Go ahead. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's almost like the writer of Hebrews is making a connection between encouragement and the condition of our heart related to how sin deceives us. C.S. Lewis, a noted British theologian and author, one of the books he wrote, was called The Screwtape Letters. And in The Screwtape Letters, Screwtape is the like devil character. And then there's a character named Wormwood, who is Screwtape's nephew. And Wormwood is given the responsibility to distract and derail the patient from relationship with God. So that's the basic storyline there. In a conversation between Screwtape and Wormwood, Screwtape says that the most effective way, and I'm paraphrasing and taking a little bit of license with it, the best way to derail and distract the patient from relationship with God is discouragement. You just discourage them. If you discourage them, everything else will take care of it. Everything else will take care of itself. But if you can just focus on discouragement, it will lead to the hardening of their life because of the result of sin's deceitfulness. So sometimes we feel as though encouragement and discouragement, they're just part of life. They're not really that important. But the writer of Hebrews says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I don't know about you, but the way I read that and the message I receive in that is encouragement is a big deal. In a world full of discouragement, encouragement is a big deal. In an inner voice full of discouragement, encouragement is a big deal. In a cycle that is so easy to fall into the trap of discouragement, encouragement is a big deal. So here's the thing. Again, if you take nothing else with you today, take this. Do not leave encouragement undone. So, again, for those of you who are wired naturally optimistic, naturally positive, naturally encouraging and encouraged, this is like, that's exactly it. But for the rest of us, it's like, how do we do this? How do you be encouraged, and how do you encourage others when the cycle never stops and it never slows down? But before he was Israel's greatest king, David was a shepherd and a warrior. And before he was Israel's greatest king, there was a season of David's life where he found himself on the run, fearing for his life from the first king of Israel, Saul. And there was a season in David's life where he spent some time living in a cave. And there was a season in his life where he had a group of followers who had banded together with him, and they kind of went through the region, and David was making a name for himself and his followers, you know, and it was kind of this band of misfits that came together around David, and they went, and just because this was the culture of the time, they went and raided different villages and all of that, and as they went to raid one village, it said, I think, if I remember right, it says there are about 400 men that were with David. They left their camp and they went and they conducted a raid or whatever they did. And then when they came back, they found that the Amalekites or the Amalekites, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, I've heard it pronounced both ways. They found that the Amalekites had invaded their camp while they were gone. And they had destroyed everything. And they had taken all of their wives and all of their children hostage. Well, as you might imagine, this didn't really set well with the 400 guys that were with David. And so all of a sudden, they began to blame David. And as you might imagine, this became a pretty discouraging time for David. I mean, things got so bad with the guys who were part of this band of misfits that they started talking about stoning David to death. Now, I don't know about you. I've had some discouraging seasons and some discouraging times, but I'm not aware that I've ever had a time in my life where people wanted to kill me by throwing rocks at me. I've gotten really, really nervous when all those tomatoes have been out there and worried that y'all were going to throw tomatoes at me, but never rocks and stones with the intent of killing me. So as you might imagine, this is a season of discouragement for David. There's no one around David who's going to speak into his life in encouragement. There's no Titus there that's going to come and alleviate the level of discouragement that David must have been feeling. And imagine what David must have been feeling. Man, just when things were going good, you know, I'm still on the run from Saul, and Saul's still after me, but man, this group, we've got this great group of people around me, and we're accomplishing all this stuff, and things are good. Man, just when things were going good, we come back, and those stupid Amalekites, man, they had to ruin everything. And David looks at his guys, and it's always something, isn't it? And they're like, yeah, but this time it was our wives and kids and all of our stuff. That's a big deal. And it's your fault. And because it's your fault, we're going to kill you. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged. How do you do it? Here's what it says about what David did. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. One translation says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, in the midst of discouragement, David was able to turn his attention to God, who encourages those who are discouraged. He was able to turn his attention to God and find strength in the midst of the circumstances because of who God is and what God desires, and because God was for David and David realized God was for him. I wish that I had an easy 1, 2, 3, do this, this, and this, and you find strength in God, and it's all better, and discouragement never takes hold of your life. I wish I had that answer. But the answer that I do have is that in a cycle of discouragement, in a world of discouragement, in voices full of discouragement, encouragement is possible. And why is encouragement possible? But God, who encourages those who are discouraged. God is a God who encourages. And sometimes in the midst of our circumstances, we need to simply turn our attention to God and keep our attention on God and allow God to be the source of encouragement. It may come through someone else. It may come through an email. It may come through tweet. It may come through a song. It may come through any number of places. But God is a God who encourages. And sometimes the encouragement that someone else needs comes through people like you and people like me. So do not let encouragement be left undone. Let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for thank you for being a God who encourages those who are discouraged. And help each and every one of us be encouraged and to be an encourager to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's 10:50. At 10:39, I had an iMessage pop up on my iPad that simply says, "You're doing great," with a thumbs up. Do not let encouragement go undone. We'll roll the preview video. We'll roll the preview video for part four, Stay Positive. Oh, no. We're not going to do that. Okay, so here's the deal. This week was supposed to be, I don't even remember. Back in July, was it July? Yeah, back in July, I got COVID and had to be gone for a Sunday because of COVID. And so based on that, we jumped the schedule and moved everything around. So though next week was supposed to be part four of the Stay Positive series, next week is going to be the first part of a series called Love Actually, a two-part series. Don Wettstein's going to be with us the next two Sundays. Next weekend, my family has a family wedding out of town, so it's 50-50 whether we'll be back in time to be with you guys or not. And then the week after that, that whole week is my kids' fall break. And so I'm going to be in and out with that a little bit over the next couple of weeks. So anyway, next week is the Love Actually part. Don Wettstein will be here. We'll roll that preview video for you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time that I'm here, whether that's next week or the week after.